you want to make sure that after I read finish this book,
better
give me something. I'm not gonna burn.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to another episode of Wise and Shine. Every Monday, we hope to join you on this journey to work to kind of just give you a little bit of insight so that you are more prepared for your life and develop a little bit further. Of course, we were right on latest fashion trends and latest interesting topics. And joining me today is...
Dawn from Budget B.
And this is Eric. They call me Mr. Positivity.
I thought it was Mr. Sensible.
Every episode,
the last
that was last
episode.
Week, right?
No, last week, Mr.
Different
Sensible,
facets,
this week.
You know?
Then next week is what?
I don't know. Depends on the topic.
Yeah, no. Okay, fair point. And I am your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut. And today we are going to talk about one classic topic in personal development, right? Because why did I want to bring up this topic? Because I've just seen so many people recording TikTok videos telling me, oh, you should read this, you should do that. You know, like 10 things, amongst the 10 things you can do to improve your life, you should do this. And I'm like, really? So the topic today is, do self-help books work? Yeah, and we're going to roll with Mr. Positivity.
Actually, you have a disclaimer. I'm in the education industry. I'm in the personal development
he
industry.
He's the one producing those content that you just
so take my advice with a pinch of salt, okay? Okay, but the question, my answer would be, if self-help books really do work, then everyone would be a multi-millionaire with six-pack abs.
Wait, then why do I listen to you? Then why do I watch, you know, like,
So do you have precisely, the TikTok app? Are you
I'm actually hoping that I can change the personal development industry. Because the thing is this, they always say that knowledge is power, right? And I disagree. I don't think knowledge is power. I think applied knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there are two ways to answer that question. But direct answer is that I don't think it works unless the receiver is open to change and the environment is conducive for that change to happen. If these two things doesn't happen, then the self-help book is really just a talisman that you can put on your bookshelf to make you feel better about yourself.
To inspire you.
Mm. Or at least you feel like you have done something.
Yeah. I think to re-establish or like, you know, amp up the context of why I wanted to bring up this topic, right? Because I've been seeing a lot of influencers, you know, putting up content like that, right? Like you know, you should read this book and why. Or, you know, there are three things you can do to improve your life. Number one is to read daily. And I'm like, I'm not a reader. Like, I don't really read. I create podcasts for a reason, right? Like, I'm an audio learner. I learn on the go. And there are more ways and more to go about, you know, learning. And of course, I used to be quite an avid reader of self-help books until I read enough to realize they're all saying the same shit, right? You know, at some point, most of them are propagating the same ideas, and there's a little bit of a trendiness in these kind of ideas. You know, like when an idea is popular, all the books will be about that thing. You know, and is that really how you should think about things? Is that how you should shape your learning? I think that's kind of where I want to move towards. Yeah, because sometimes your ideas don't need to be trendy. In fact, the evergreen ones are the great ideas, you know?
Well, I'm an advocate of learning. I do agree with you that not everybody has to read a book to learn. Because like you said, there are three types of learners, right? I mean, audio, visual, kinesthetic. If you're talking about should we read books or should we learn, then obviously the answer is yes. Right, because the more you
That's
learn,
That's why
the more
I never asked that question.
So his criticism on books only.
No, books, specifically self-help books. I think self-help, like I said, self-help books is trendy. You know, there's always a trend, right? Like now, mental health is everything. You know, it's like all the books about mental health, you know, like how to work less, you know, work-life balance. There's a certain trend, right? And this is essentially them riding on the cultural wave. because they need to sell books, ma. Right? Yeah. So now you write something like, just go and work your ass off. You know, it's like, maybe, you know, we'll not sell as well, right?
Nobody will buy. It'll
be like, no bestseller, then discount rack, right? it'll be on a discount rack. It'll be
a free gift.
You know, so there's always some sort of trend. And a lot of the ideas inside are repetitive. And a lot of the ideas inside are not very context lah. Sometimes, right? Like, it always sounds so good, but it really doesn't apply in my life.
I actually agree and disagree that it all starts to
sound GP
the same.
Tutor, come already lah.
Let's hear it.
Invited GP teacher on your podcast.
Yes, come, tell us.
Right, I think because I read a lot, I do notice that there are some similarities, some things that are always repeated that are the same. But every book has a difference. And I think that difference comes from the author's perspective and the lens that they're writing the book with. And that's where I learn the most on. Yeah. So after a while, you see, when you read one thing one time, it may not stick. But if you read 10 self-help books and you read that same phrase 10 times, you start to realize, okay, these are important, I better pay attention. And then it really starts to stick. At the same time, you can also learn the complementary things that come with that main message, and you benefit from that. Whereas I think for you, right, you focus a lot on that main message only. So people who do that feels that what's the main focus of this book is just this one.
I know Reggie. Reggie is a very meta learner. Okay, what's a meta learner? He doesn't just want to learn the...
Namaste.
We have a long chat about it, right? That he doesn't just want to know what to do, but he wants to know how you arrive at that. And what's your thought process that lead you there? Which is why I feel we need to segregate self-help books. There are different categories. So self-help book, there's how-to. There is autobiographies and biographies. Right? And there is also thought leadership. The books, like the likes of Adam Grant and Simon Sinek, that they're always coming out with original thought. That's why they're called thought leaders. They lead with thought, right?
So I'm not sure they're very original, but okay. Please continue.
So I feel that when it comes to self-help books, if it's how-to, then I just pick and choose one and try it on. It's like advice, right? Try on for a size. You can judge a book by its cover. If the cover is attractive enough, if there's enough, if you look at the source of material, like this guy has the expertise and it's backed up with a little bit of science, even though I question whether is it really science or pseudoscience.
Every research have 10 other
research. But if it's how-to, you can't go wrong with how-to, because the best way to judge a how-to book is to try it and see if you can get results or not. Where it gets tricky is the autobiographies, because autobiography, you know, right, is written by the author himself. So that's where it's like learning someone's backstory. You probably want to take it with a pinch of salt.
Actually, you wouldn't count autobiographies as self-help book. Eh?
I will put them as a tangent.
Oh, you
won't? Yeah.
I'll put them as
you put
them
as what?
As a tangent.
A tangent.
They are trying to appeal to the same audience, but it's not really self-help books. You know what I mean?
Okay, fine. We'll put that out. Yeah. That, I think, makes conversation
I'll categorize
easier.
Self-help books as books that you would pick up or buy, because from the title or from the synopsis, you feel like you could learn a few things from it.
Okay.
And you want to learn it. So that's key. Yeah. So you go in wanting to learn about sales, for example. You pick up a sales self-help book. You go in wanting to learn how to improve your communication. Then you go and read the, you know, Dave Carnegie and all of that stuff.
But that's where the scary part is, right? You see, if I pick a self-help book because I just want to learn, then good luck. There's no results. Right? Because learning, if you don't apply the learning, then there's no results.
But that willingness to first learn is step one.
No, that's because true. I agree with Don. Yeah. Actually, it's the context of why you even pick up the book to begin with, right? So I think that's the context that she has set, which I agree, which is when you pick up this book, you are seeking something, right? You want to make sure that after I finish this book,
better
give me something. I'm not going to burn. but there must be something here that's going to help my life, you know, or at least answer the questions that I want to answer, you know. But where I come from is half the time is saying the same thing and doesn't always work.
You pick up the wrong books.
Which bookstore you go?
Okay, what kind of books will do you think really work? You know, and what kind of, how do I then deceive picking up some of these books?
I think you have to read and you know. It's hard, like, you can judge from the cover that does like 20% of the job, but ultimately reading it, then you'll really figure it out.
I have a kind of a reading hack. Usually before I buy a book, I will actually go to Blinkist. I've subscribed to Blinkist.
Because in some
authors, not sponsored.
they should. Sometimes I feel the author has a lot of fluff, right? Because they have maybe a book deal and they have to have 236 pages, but actually whatever they want to say can be summarized in one page.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? So I feel that the way to cut the BS and get a best essence is to just read Blinkist, because Blinkist summarizes only 10 things. Every book is just 10 things you can pick up from that the person. And then I'll take that 10 things and I'll say, hey, that's point number 5 is new. Then maybe I'll buy the book and then I will read that particular chapter.
So will you then only read that chapter? Or yes, will you go and read the others as well?
If I feel that the others I already know and I'm already applying it, then there's no, like what Reggie said, well, there's no value already. Right? Mm. But if there's somebody challenging my current thinking, someone share a new point of view, I wouldn't mind checking it out.
Mm. Mm.
Is there a personal story amongst you that after you read the book, it benefit you a lot? You know, specific book and specific story. Oh, so many. You know?
A lot. Yeah. About, hey, this hack very good. Eh? Yeah, I'm going to use it now. Okay, subscribing.
I got another shortcut also, which is you guys don't have to love reading books. You just got to hang out with people who love reading books. Because some of us just learn through conversations. Mm-hmm. And so don't feel obligated that you need to read. I think this whole reading trend came probably from Bill Gates, right? He's one of the most well-known person that actually Warren Buffett, okay. Mm-hmm. I know Bill Gates because I know he went on a vacation. He would, every year, 2 or 3 times,
that's
he would go away. And okay lah, I mean, okay. Wow, this guy
so cynical. He,
yeah.
Hey, whoa. That's why I'm sitting on the opposite side of Mr. Positive.
That's true.
I'm here to try to.
So I think it's popular. Like holding a Starbucks cup is popular. It's part of a brand. So I do agree that some people just like the idea of carrying a book around, right? It's because it looks good. It's an accessory. But at any end of the day, you don't judge a book by its cover. You judge by the reader. And did the reader apply?
Mm-hmm.
And if the reader applied and the person got value, then great, then that's a great book.
Yeah. In fact, right, if you think about it, a lot of the best self-help books that go on to become popular is because people who read it and implemented it then became successful. They recommend the book to more people and then it perpetuates. Yeah. Right? So it's a, what do you call that? It's a cycle.
Yeah. Like my favorite book. Okay.
What's your favorite book? Okay. Since you don't like books.
Book, yes. Like? My favorite book is this book called The Little Book of Clarity by Jamie Smart. Okay, so it's a very rando book that does not sit in mainstream. But let me share with you how I picked up this book, okay? So I was working in China for a while, and during my time coming back to Singapore, I had some Hong Kong dollar left. So I flew in from Hong Kong, right? And I was like, yeah, maybe I won't be coming back. I'm very heartbroken here, right? Oh. So I wanna like just finish my HKD, right? So at the airport, I was like, yeah, you know, my Octopus card got money. You know, there's some books here. Let me see what is interesting. Right, and I browsed around and I saw this book called The Little Book of Clarity, and it's very small, you know, maybe like this size.
That's why it's a little book.
Yeah, that's why it's like, exactly right. If it's like that, I was like, hey, hello, bro.
It's ironic.
Hey, but right? Then it has 214 pages, not very little.
You know, but you know what's the best thing? After I bought the book, I went on the plane, I finished reading half of it on the plane itself. Right, so and that was amazing because I am not a reader. It takes a lot for me to read. But the very fact is, I agree with you that when I bought the book, I was already seeking something.
You were seeking to declutter.
Yeah, I was seeking to think a little bit more about life, like what is life about, blah, blah, blah. So when I bought that book, I was like, yeah, it was what it is. So it became functional to me at that point in time. But if today I go back and read that same book, I'll be like, you know, no use, right? So and I think that little bit of nuance is also important because a reader kind of read what they want to read. Mm-hmm. And it's not always about the book in itself.
I think the intent is important.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just want to affirm our current thinking. So imagine, right, I believe in thinking positive. Obviously, I'll gravitate towards books on the art of positive thinking. What if someone comes up with another book called Negative Thinking Actually Makes Your Life Better?
Yeah.
You know? And I actually subscribe to that. You know, in a view of a myriad of emotions, right? Mm. Happiness, sadness, anger, envy, grief, whatever. A lot of people subscribe to all the positive ones, like happiness, lah, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And to them, it is an endless high, you know, like they're endlessly searching for the high.
Mm-hmm.
And all other emotions become bucketed as negative and like not helpful, you know. But my view is when you're angry, it's a very clear signal that this person has touched your bottom line. If you're grieving, it helps you focus the energy to kind of look back at what has happened. Because only when you grieve can you really go through all the episodes with a fine comb. So every emotion has its function.
And it takes a person who's willing to challenge their current thinking to then realize this new thinking, which always goes back. I always feel that it always goes back to the receiver. Does the receiver have a growth mindset? Because if he has a growth mindset, then he's always going to be taking on new beliefs, try it on for a size. If it works, keep it. If it doesn't work, remove it. So the intent is important, because I do know of people who, like, okay, so Reggie comes into books because he wants to find a solution.
Yeah. So that's, he the, only, that's the only reason I read, you know. I don't care if you read one. Yeah, it's like, I got problem, I could find a book, you know, or I find a few books. That's why I will read. So when my life got no problem, I don't really read. You know that?
But that's also because you are willing to implement, right? But some people, maybe they just read because they like the idea that they are seeking help, but later when they realize a solution is inconvenient, then they say, oh, this book doesn't work. Yeah. Because they're not willing to face the demons or not willing to face the facts. Yeah. So I will not judge the book. I feel that every book has its value. The matter is whether the receiver is open enough to receive that value.
Fair. I do get that. And I do know people that drown themselves in books. Similar to how people drown in games, they drown in something. It's a form of escapism, right? It's a medium to just keep learning and keep reading and reading and reading. And you know,
because they feel like they're doing something.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's so, like sitting on a rocking chair hoping you go somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I want to put this question out to Mr. Positivity. Like, how, what is one book, you know, that oh, God, people so should difficult. Read? Okay, no, not endorsed. Oh, no. Not endorsing.
I feel so pressured when you say that people should read, right? No,
okay. Well, let me set you the context, right? Okay. Like, if people want to have the growth mindset, So if people want to have the growth mindset and they're listening to today's podcast, and Mr. Positive is going to give you one book that you should kind of embark on, right? Start. So I give you the context, right? Growth mindset, and to start, because I know as you read, become more advanced, right? A lot of the starting books become very lame. Right, so you kind of go to the next level. So someone wants to start and adopt the growth mindset. What is one book they should read?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I actually would recommend this book by Tim Ferriss. Mm. Tim Ferriss has this book, beautiful yellow-black book called Tribe of Mentors. And I used to give away this book. This book costs a lot of money though. It's about like $35, $36. Very thick book.
Yeah.
But I thought the premise of the book is amazing. Mm. So what he did is he created 13 questions. So for example, a question is, with $100, what's the most valuable thing that you have bought with $100? What is one mistake that you have made in life that have actually turned out to be an apparent failure that turned out to actually be serving you? So he created thoughtfully 13 questions and he asked a total of, I think, 100 plus people, sportsmen, politicians, author, thought leaders, philanthropists, all kinds of people, right? And I love that book because it actually trains me to have diverse thinking, that the very same question, everybody answers it differently. So if you want to challenge your own growth mindset, take that book, you know, and this is how I read it, I don't read from one page to another page. I take the book and I say, okay, today, what advice do I want to have for myself? And I just flip. And then I'll see that question. And that question might be, what is one stupid advice that people always give you that actually doesn't work? And then I'll see, who's the person giving it? Oh, he is Warren Buffett, or he's somebody. Okay, I'm going to read it. Oh, wow, actually, this is interesting. Mm. And I'm done. Bite-sized learning.
Did he interview the poor and the unsuccessful?
No. No. He says short life advice from she's the best.
Oh my God, you're like searching on she's the like, fly.
No, because I feel like I want to read that book after
Yeah, it's bite-sized life advice and I feel like, wow, because I can't access these 100 plus people who are billionaires, philanthropists and sports people. But I would love to know how they think, because I really do believe that how you think is what determines the output of your life.
And this book gives you an insight into their mind, which is what every book is, really. Yeah. Especially for self-help books.
But it's easy because it's not theoretical, it's very practical.
And that's why I asked the question, because the self-help book has a skewed coverage. They always cover the successful people, the people that are doing very well and blah, blah, blah. But we must all understand that in every system, certain people will perform a little bit better because of the skill sets and the ideas and the resources that they have. They will outshine everyone. But that doesn't mean that the wisdom only come from these people. There are many other people that have a lot of other ideas that are totally not covered in the self-help book space, right? Because it don't sell, ma.
No, that's where the science comes in already. For example, there's this book called The Laws of Human Nature. Love all his books. He's the one that wrote the book of Art of War, Power, Principle of Seduction, and then he wrote that book on human nature. That's science. Or at least you can argue it's not, but he studied his source material is always from ancient times. So he studied a lot of the ancient philosophers and thinkers. Stoicism is one of them. And then he derived at 49. And so then it's got independent of where my background is. And I felt that this kind of books then would be nice to try for a size. Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
No, I feel like reading that also.
Yeah. Amazing books. You can read the one. If you guys are in corporate, if you're in corporate, read the book on power. But if you just want to generally have a good life, like have an easier time with human beings, then read the Human Nature one. Wow, that was really, really powerful. Heavy read though. So just read one law a week, maybe. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Dawn, what about you?
Don't ask me the growth mindset. No, one, because I cannot.
You give one book.
Yeah, what's
give
the book?
Give one
yeah,
book.
Any
that, yeah, and
any
and
book,
contextualize
okay.
why did you pick up this book and who should read this book? Who is searching for what and why should they read this?
Yeah, so I know everyone listening to this, if you know me, you're going to think I'm going to recommend a finance book. So I shall not recommend a finance book.
I would recommend some. I'll just listen to Financial Coconut.
We're already here.
Oh, Wise and Shine also.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, I think for me, right, the best or the most impactful self-help books differ at when you ask me that question.
Yes, okay, of course.
Fair. Yeah, because what I'm seeking and what he has given me at different points in time differ, right? Yes. So when I was in my 20s, I read a lot on sales and communication because I was trying to learn how to do this better as a, you know, fresh grad, new workforce. You must learn how to do that. Branding, career, and then personal finance as well, investing. But then now in my 30s as a parent, I'm reading a lot of parenting books. And right now, one that I feel has really left an impact in the recent years, it's actually this book called Surrounded by Idiots, written nice by Thomas Erickson. Yeah, and he has a series of books that happened after that, but I think this very first one is phenomenal. Okay, it basically describes the four behavior types of people by sorting them into colors: red, blue, yellow, and green. It's similar to DISC. Yeah, people are familiar with this philosophy would know. But I actually learned this, and when I read this Surrounded by Idiots, I found this to be even more accurate when it comes to reading people. Because, for example, right, what is more valuable is not just knowing what color that person is. What it helped me at that point in my life is after learning how to discern, right, I realized it was easier for me to manage and talk to certain people because by understanding what their color is and then the book does tell you how to handle that. It made everything so much
But why idiots? Like, why do you use the word idiots?
Oh, I forgot.
Because
I have to reread the book.
Because need to sell. Always remember.
Maybe.
So people do judge a book by its cover.
Of course.
Sensational.
I have friends who are in publishing. Is it a cover? It's important because that's the only thing that is right up there. Yep. Right?
Yeah. So, clickbait.
Yeah, it's very important.
But I think if there's one book that I think everyone should read, not just finance, right? This book is really important.
Surrounded
because,
by idiots.
Yeah. Relationships, right, will be relevant in every stage of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll give you an example. Like my husband last time cannot click with blue people. So blue are those who are very facts driven, very statistic, always will Google that kind of thing. So you can tell a lot of critical thinking.
Yes, you are.
They don't get convinced by hype or marketing, but by facts. So they like to make their own decisions. Once I understood that, whenever I recognize a blue person, I just do minimal selling. I only talk about the facts. And I let people decide for themselves because they like to feel like they made the decision. They're smart. You cannot say, I help you make a decision. Right? You must empower them that way.
Mm.
Whereas on the other hand, the yellow person is like a peacock. He needs the attention. So the more you sell him on the idea that he will get famous or, you know, a lot of people will love him for it, the more he would want this solution. Yeah, and it's amazing. It's not just about selling. It's even when you work with the person, when you know what triggers them. The book also talks about triggers. Then you don't do what triggers them. So you will always be in a good relationship with them. So if we bring it back to 3 weeks ago, we talked about, can you befriend your boss, right? If you can recognize what your boss color is, you know what not to do, so he will always like you. And you will know what to do to make him shine and feel reverence. So if your boss is not a yellow person, you put him on stage to talk, he hate you for life. First person to fire is you. Yeah, and I think this has really shaped the way I interact with people a lot. I find that I'm drawn very much to people who are yellow and who are red because naturally yellow people are very popular. But when you know roughly what color each person is, right, then you also know what you can learn from them better.
I'm just very fascinated. You see, like, this is what we want in readers, right? That she just doesn't just take it on. She challenged it. She tried for a size and she internalized it. Many years later, she can still remember.
Yeah, I read this book like 5-6 years ago.
And so to her, that self-help book works because she's willing to play her part to internalize it, learn it, use it, internalize it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it takes two to clap.
Yeah. And I think eventually as you pick up more books and you learn more things, some of these old ideas may fade out.
Or integrate, or
evolve over time, right? And it's not about just holding on to whatever you have for the longest time, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of move along. Because I think, cute side story, I think a few years ago, I read The Subtle Art of Not Giving a
Fuck. Of course, Manson. See, again, a negative title.
So it's very attractive, right? Idiots, like, you know, whatever, right? So I read the book, and thank you for speaking over that. I don't need to beat, right?
Great,
love it. Okay,
good partnership.
So I was like, yeah, that's like, I was like, yeah, yeah, I need this. I care too much about what other people think, you know. And then I told another friend, it's like, hey, you know, you should read this book. And he was like, for what? I really don't care. It's like, okay, I get it now, right?
Yeah, so your friend doesn't need that book.
Exactly, right? So not everyone needs the book, right? And I think that's the beauty of this discussion.
I think today, when a student is ready, the teacher will appear. In this case, the teacher is the self-help books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair. Yeah. Yes,
but so, being willing to implement that is important. Because like Albert Einstein, I think a lot of people, right, they expect to keep doing the things that they've already done, and then expecting something to change. But like what you say, why would I go for a course if I wasn't prepared to do something else differently, right? But people read and then they think, no, like, what I'm doing good enough, like, don't want to try. Yeah. Then they just deem that book as a failure when in fact, maybe it's them, not the book.
Yeah. But I will also challenge that maybe it's the book that's the failure because it's inability to shape your views or the teacher's inability to shape your worldviews.
I think...
Right? So there's also some level of that, right? But I'm not discounting that, you know, there are people that just don't want
Maybe to, I share the perspective from the author side because I come from that era, right?
That's why I cannot say that thing.
Feel free to say it. Like, I mean, your audience are discerning. They will know. But you have to understand that back then, when I first entered the PD world, right, the personal development world, I was told to write books even though I'm totally inexperienced. And I asked them, why must I write a book? Then they came out with some very gimmicky answer. They say, because you want to build your authority, right? Yeah, what's the root word of authority? Yeah. Author. Oh, okay. Then I decided to write a book. But back then, because I have no authority, so what I did was I interviewed. I interviewed people and I wrote my first book on speaking, right? And it really helped. But you must understand, back then, there's not a lot of local authors. But today, you know, everybody's writing something.
Everyone can publish.
And everybody's a publisher right now. Why? Thanks to the mobile phone. So I think that the quality of the books, podcasts, videos needs to be higher. Regurgitating what other people say is not going to get you anywhere anymore. Because we already, like your friends say, I already know it. So if the book can share the science behind common knowledge, that will be value. Because some people just are inquisitive. They want to know the basis. If the book can challenge your old thinking, that will be very valuable as well in current world. If the book can explain why things are the way it is and tell you what to do to prepare for the future, that will be a very valuable book as well. So I think as with times, even books need to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Just sharing how-to is not going to be valuable because people now can learn how-to from YouTube. Videos.
Yeah, I think the how-to era was the 2000s, right?
Yeah.
Best of 2010. Yeah, the how-to.
1990s was best the 99. You can do it era. Remember?
Yeah.
All this motivational Adam Cool time, right? It was the how-to. Now it's the why your life sucks kind of era. Don't you feel? Like a lot of books are the negative titles.
There's a lot of that.
But we'll see how it goes.
Interesting. Okay, in closing, any last points you want to share, you know, with our audience today about do self-help books actually work?
I think if you doubt that self-help books work, then you need to be seeking out better books or you need to reflect on yourself.
Don't go to discount outlet, right? Don't go to the discount section. Wow, this is very cheap. I'm going to buy this book. There's a reason why it's there, right?
No, I think it's the author also. And I feel like you can also learn from lesser known authors.
Sure.
Yeah, but it's just that they may not get the traction it needs to make that book go viral or get that awareness in society. But at the end of the day, right, we should be responsible for our own learning. So if you want to learn something, pick up the self-help book that will get you there. If the first book you pick up doesn't get you there, pick up the next one and the next one and the next one. And then if it still doesn't get you there, then you question like what you say. Maybe I just don't like to read books. I'm an audio learner. Then go for a podcast. or go for other modes of learning. It doesn't always have to be books per se.
I'm a firm believer that you know, everything in life teaches us something. And the whole purpose is to help us evolve. So I hope that every one of you listening here would always be a seeker of learning. Like, you have to be a learner, because every time you grow, you evolve, you become bigger, right? But you can be flexible in the way you want to learn. Mm-hmm. You can learn through books, you can learn through podcasts, you can learn through videos, you can learn through having conversations with people. And as long as you stay open to learning, you would see yourself growing tremendously and you will accelerate.
Great. And in closing, I just want to say that, you know, I sound like I don't really support self-help books, right? The reality is I did start somewhere, right? So I did read some of these books. Eventually, the books became too diluted for me. Yeah. And, you know, I had to read more complicated stuff. But hey, you know, if you're new to a vertical, you're just starting.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To pick up something, those are very low touch points that you can just kind of pick up, you know, and just kind of grind along. And eventually you will figure your own thought processes with some of these insights from some of these books. Although, you know, I still think they're very diluted.
I think the beauty of self-help books also is that it offers you learning for very cheap.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes.
How else would you normally learn? Like, you would learn through a mentor, but you may not always have access to that mentor, that side person. Or you'll go for courses which cost thousands of dollars when you can actually learn a snippet of it, or sometimes even the entire course, depending on who's teaching it, from a book. Yeah, and in personal finance, I always say that to people, like, if you're broke, you want to learn from free, that's Google. You need to be curating your own syllabus. You want to learn from a curated syllabus because you find it too noisy, you don't know how to do your own learning and structure, then learn from a course. Right, because you can learn from books, but they're all very messy and some of them are outdated. You go and read the various investment books, some of them no longer apply in today's world. They tell you things like, you know, you should buy companies with big assets, and then like, what about software companies with no assets? You know, they're the new gem, they're the new goal. So you need to be able to discern. And if you are new in the like not a lot of cash, self-help books are the cheapest way to level up. Then I mean, after you level up, then you go and take other stuff.
Exactly, yes, fair. And I always tell people, you know, the Sifu doesn't come up from the mountain to tell you I'm good. Hey, you have to climb up the mountain to look for the Sifu. So maybe the first step is to read a book. Okay, with that, I hope you learned something useful today and joining us every week on Wise and Shine. You know, check out our other shows and we will see you next week. Bye, guys.